there are these people here and these people there and these people over here. And we've heard from them in previous weeks, missionaries who have gone to the uttermost parts of the earth to take the message of the great news of Jesus to people that otherwise would not have the opportunity to hear. 25 years ago, Sanford and Wendy Hashimoto had that opportunity. And they have followed God to many different places, which I'm going to allow Sanford to share. He signs many of his emails to me, Aloha, from his time in Hawaii. And I am delighted this morning to introduce to you someone who has with reckless abandon followed Jesus Christ. Someone who has earned the right to stand behind this pulpit and share with us about what God is doing in the world, because he has shown over 25 years great success, not only as a church planter, teacher, and preacher, but he has shown the character of a missionary, a character of having God's heart. And as he comes here this morning, I not only want us to give him a warm welcome, but I want us to peek our ears to what he has to say. I want us to be able to just be sensitive enough to say, Holy Spirit, what are you going to teach me this morning? God, what do you have for me? Sanford is just a man, but he represents God. And so let's listen to him carefully this morning. Would you welcome with me Reverend Sanford Hashimoto?
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you. I've been looking forward for this moment. It's always a great opportunity to speak in different churches. As a missionary, we travel about, and many people said, aren't you tired? Isn't it weary at times? I said, yes, it can be, but for me, it's a great joy. I get to meet many of the Christian Missionary Alliance members and friends, people that I have never met before in my life. And I hope during this week, you will come out to as many of the meetings as possible, and we'll be able to connect and meet one another. I want to shake your hand, give you a big aloha, and also braço, that's the word, big arm hug from Brazil. I think it's very important that the Alliance sends the missionaries over to the churches so that we can talk to one another. You have questions, and I can be able to share with you what you are doing with the Great Commission Fund. And that is the missionary money that you give each week sometimes, each month, whatever God puts upon your heart. But what this missionary money does in the Christian missionary, and especially in Brazil. I was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, back in the 40s, right after the war. And grew up in a Buddhist home, in the Shintoist. If you know anything about the Shintoist or anything about the Buddhist, you generally have two levels of Buddhism. One would be the higher level, that you talk about nirvana, you talk about different reincarnation levels of being. And then the other one, that too, but with a more on a practical daily basis, the Shintoism, where you pray and worship many, many gods. In fact, I can remember praying to the god of the turtle, god of the crane, god of the fish, god of the moon and the sun and the rivers, and many, many gods, over a million gods. And it was part of our life. I grew up in a home that we had a shrine in our house, and you open the door and there would be Buddha right there. On the wall over there would be pictures and idols of bad, ugly demons who would be attacking us, and that was the evilness in the world, and that we had to pray to that so that they would not hurt us. And then on the other side of the wall of our house, we had pictures of good demons, demons who would take care of us, demons who would make us happy, demons that make us rich. And so, you know, that's a lie. A lie. Because there's no such thing as good demons. There's no such thing as good demons. But yet many people in the world believe that if they have superstitious good luck charms and everything, a horseshoe, or they have a tie around their finger or whatever, that they'll be safe. And that's a lie. Our only safe keeper is Jesus Christ, God himself. We don't have to go to good luck things. And so me as a Buddhist, every single day if I go out out of the house or in the nighttime underneath a certain tree, I'll be really, really afraid that one of these spooky demons would jump on me. And my parents and I and all of it, we just grew up that way. And we try to have many, many good luck things to protect us, to make us happy. Well, I came to know the Lord and our good friends here, Joyce and Lorraine and Ray, they are working with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And that's a good ministry. If you don't know anything about it, get involved in it, being part of it. It's a wonderful ministry. Well, as a child, my next door neighbor invited me to go to a Christian church. And I said, wow, that's a good thing because they're going to have a party time. And if I went, my neighbor would get some points and some presents. If I went with her and him, both of them together, I would get some presents too and some candies. And so I said, hey, Mom, Dad, there's a good children's program. I want to go over there and I'm going to get some presents, I think, something I want to get that. And they said, okay. So I did, and I got my present, and that was great. And the children's program in the church was just fantastic. Because in our home, we're very quiet, reverent to Buddha and the spirits. When we went to the Buddhist temple, it was a beautiful golden temple. Everything was quiet. You could hear a dime drop and roll. You could hear just the priest, the Buddhist priest, chanting and the bongs, bong, bong. And you would hear that. But in the Christian church, I mean, like this here, you folks are happy, smiling. You folks greet one another, you know, hug one another. That is one. And I never saw that before. And they talked about a God who loved me, a God who cared about me, a God who was the creator of all things, but yet small enough to come to my heart. And I said, wow, I never heard about that before. I like that. And I would return back. You know, I wasn't always faithful in church because my parents were not Christians. Every single day, every morning, evening, we would bow down to Buddha. We put the incense, we put the rice, we put the fruit, and many, many times with a can of beer. Those were all for the spirits. And the evening we would eat that. And the evening my father would drink the beer and get really happy. And then I saw a great difference. And my heart as a young child was pulled to the love of God. And though I wasn't very faithful, and I want you to get this, please don't miss this. The Christians in the church were very understanding and patient with me. In Hawaii, you know, the beautiful beaches and the surfing, those waves would just call me, you know. Say, Sanford, miss Sunday school, don't go to church, you know. And so I would go to the beach with my family and friends, and that was great. I loved it. I loved skipping church. But my Sunday school teachers would call me up and say, Sanford, hey, we missed you. The pastor would say, can we come and visit? Church members would come and say, hey, Sanford, we missed you. And I would go. One of our friends would pick me up in the car and take me to church. It was the love of the Christian community that encouraged me. My parents didn't encourage me. They were Buddhist. They were non-Christians. But it was a Christian. And I want to encourage you. Listen. Get hold of your friends. Get hold of the little kids. You know, your colleagues. And say, hey, come to church. You know, if they say, no, that's I don't have time. Wait a while. Invite them again. And that's what happened to me. And God was faithful. And all those years, even though I was unfaithful, He was faithful to me. And I understood little by little in the message of the pastor and the youth leader little by little. And I grew up as a teenager, as a young person. And then God called me into ministry. And the Lord called us to Brazil. During this week, I'll share with you about my wife, how we got to meet one another. And we have two wonderful girls. Ginger is 28. She lives and works in Sao Paulo, Brazil with us. She teaches English. That's how she earns her money. But she helps us in ministry. She will be helping us in our third church planting ministry around there in that area of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And the other daughter, Ginger's 20. She's in an Alliance College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia, and preparing to be a missionary. We've been involved in church planting. That's starting church from scratch. And we've planted 5 churches every term. It's a 5-year term. We've started a brand new church. We'll be going back for our 6th term, and we'll plant our 6th church as well. Many, many different kinds of nationalities were involved. Basically, the major force or population of Brazil are Europeans. You would fit right into the churches that we have built. Southern Brazil is where we have major work there for the Alliance, and with Brazilians being Portuguese, Italians, Spanish, Germans, Norwegians, yes, all down there in southern Brazil, because it's cold down there. It's sometimes snowy, like what you've got up there. Yeah, right now where the kids are. But not that much snow. We do have flares and all. And the kind of hard part of being in Brazil is that most of our people are not used to heat like here. So we don't have heat in our homes, in our schools, in our churches. We don't have heat in the hospitals. We don't have heat in the businesses. So it gets down to 30 degrees, 40 degrees, and you just bundle up. That's how it is. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 7 months sometime, you're just in freezing cold. That's our culture. Now, in Brazil, they are very wonderful, loving, exciting, expressive people. Lorraine, will you please stand up? Lorraine, right there, stand up, okay? Okay, just say, no, keep on standing up, okay? Okay, if I see Lorraine walking down the street, we have no shame whatsoever. We say, "Hey, Lorraine, good to see ya!" And she will return back, say, "Hey, Sammy, come on, scream." Louder. And then, if I can, I will run over to the street and give her a big hug and kiss. It's like that, okay? And then you may sit down now, okay? So what we're going to do now, we're gonna be very Brazilian. I'm going to have the ushers, please come, and give to each one of you, okay? Please, really quick, hurry up and give this. Chocolates all around there. I don't know where they all are. Where's it? There's some over there. Give a whole handful, okay? In the back, there's some more chocolates over there, okay? Everybody gets 2 chocolates. Everybody gets 2 chocolates, okay? Everybody gets 2. Don't eat it. Don't eat it yet. Don't eat it yet. There's more in the plates over there. Hurry up, do it real quick. In 30 seconds, you can. Let's try and do that. And the reason why, especially Hershey Kisses, is because in São Paulo, Brazil, our city, is a mega city. We have 24 million people. 24 million people. It's the 5th largest city in the world. The first being 27 million in China, the middle of China, Chongqing. Never heard of it, right? Never heard of it. 27 million people in China. Then you have Japan. Then you have Mexico City. And you have São Paulo, Brazil, and Paris. So in São Paulo, we have a Hershey chocolate factory. Ooh. And so what you will do now is to open this, okay, gingerly, very slowly, and don't put it in your mouth, okay? You will smell it and go, ooh. Everybody, ooh. All right, pass it by your nose again. Ah. Okay, everybody. Ah. All right, oh, real good. Okay, now what you will do, open your mouth. Wait, don't put it in your mouth yet. Whoa. What you will do is bite half of it and hold the other half. Bite half. Everybody, All right, don't swallow. Chew it. Don't swallow. Chew it slowly. Everybody, Okay, with your tongue, push it the other side. You got it all, now it's all over your mouth, severing. Oh, okay, now you go, oh, Swallow it. Okay. Now with the other half. Pass it by your nose. Isn't it great? Isn't that wonderful? Pastor, no. Okay. Now, what you will do, you will put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. Take it out. All right. Now put it back in again. Lick your fingers. You can lick the other person's finger too if they let you. Now, slowly chew it. Again. Now, with your tongue, push the chocolate over to your front of your mouth, to your teeth, and smile like this. Turn to your friends. Come on. Smile with the chocolate. Now, swallow it, and you will do the jig. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, everybody. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, wasn't that great? Now, with the second one, don't eat it. I want you to stand and trade with 5 different people. You will give it to them. They will give you yours. So you will not lose yours. Okay? Go to the front, to the back of the church, to the east and to the west. Everybody up. Trade. Here you go. Trade with me. Oh, good. Thank you. Trade with me. Yeah, there you go. Trade with me. There you go. All right. Trade with me. Here you go. Thank you. All right, let's sit down. Let's sit. Sit. Go back to your pews. Okay. All right. Don't eat it yet. All right. Wait a minute. I didn't say to hug. No hugging. All right? No hugging. Sit down. Now open up the wrapper. Smell it. Oh. Everybody. Oh. Ooh. All right. Pop it in your mouth. Hey, mine's different. I got caramel in mine. Whoa. Ooh, yeah. All right, now rub your tummy. Everybody. Yes. Yes. Now, what was this all about? Why did we do this? It's like having Jesus in you. I mean, you're not going to eat Jesus. No. But when you invite Jesus into your life, when you know for sure that He has given you salvation, eternal life, when you know for sure that this is the right thing that you've been looking for, the truth that you've been dying for, when you found Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He gives you peace. He gives you joy. True happiness. He gives to you that smile with the chocolate on your teeth. And people see that chocolate. You know? They see that smile. And what did you want to do? You wanted to share Jesus with other people. That's what you want to do. And you know, don't do it now, but if you turn to someone and you breathe that chocolate breath on that person, they would smell that. And that chocolate aroma, the Bible speaks about aroma. God enjoys the smell, the aroma, the perfume of our praises to Him, our worship to Him, our sacrifices of joy to Him. The Bible is filled with God enjoying our fellowship. This is what He seeks. And as a missionary, God desires us to go and tell others about Jesus. God expects you to not just eat the chocolate for yourself, But to share it with other people here in Long Beach, you start here, in your home, your loved ones. And then if God calls you to be a missionary, for you to leave this comfortable setting and to tell others who are dying who need Jesus Christ. God sent us to Brazil, and He sent us there planting churches. It's been a joy, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience that God has given to me and my wife, Wendy. I want you to open up your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter, he wrote it explaining exactly what it means to become a child of God. What a joy it is to accept Jesus Christ. He said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. He's talking about how you can really, really know the love of God in your life, salvation in your life. And then from there on, he says, not only that, it is so important that you spread that good news to other people. Verse 14 and 15, he talks about the five hows of missions. The five hows of missions, and this is our title this morning. And the first one is this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? The emphasis is call. How can they call? What is the word? What does the word call mean? It's shouting out, giving an alarm, an alert, getting your attention. That person wants you to hear him. And that reminds me of Acts chapter 16, verse 9, when the Apostle Paul had a dream. And he dreamt of a man in his vision calling him to Macedonia. That's Greece. Macedonia today. And that man was shouting to him and saying, come over, I'm begging you. He had a vision from God. And that man was begging Paul. What does beg means? You have a need, an urgency. You have a great want. And a need is that you must come and help. And so this man was saying, come over. Come, come, come. I need you to tell me about Jesus Christ. I need you to tell our people about the love of God. I need you because our people are dying, going to hell without Jesus Christ. Come! And that's the vision. And Paul had that vision. And when he woke up, he said, I must go. I must go. Right now I'm going to show you a video film. It's only 10 minutes long, about our ministry in Brazil. And the beginning of that is a very modern scene of the capital called Brasilia. It was built in 1960 and finished in 2 years. Very, very modern. The most modern capital in the world. And then after that, very quickly, a city that we had worked in, Porto Alegre. It's a more older city, but it has skyscrapers and all. We worked there for 15 years, planting 3-4 churches there. And then after that, we're going to see one church planting ministry, how church planting is done. Okay, so can we have the film right now? This is an older film, so I'm sorry, maybe it's jumpy. This is the map of Brazil. It normally doesn't go this bad, but... And I want you to meet my family. My wife, Wendy. Whoa. Was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We met in Bible College in Indiana. She's blonde, blue-eyed. I call her my albino Japanese. She's a great gal, loves the Lord, and helps us in children's ministry. And now this is Brasilia. That's our flag.
City of Brazil was inaugurated on April 21st.
Maybe you can put up the sound louder.
President Juscelino Kubitschek.
There we go. Thank you.
Designed by architects Oscar Niemeyer and Lúcio Costa, the city was built in just 41 months, a revolutionary and modern project. The Brazilian dimensions are well reproduced on Brasilia's design. The capital of a country with 8.5 million square kilometers of mystery, beauty, and contrast. Porto Alegre was founded in 1762 by Açorian immigrants on the Guaíba riverbanks, the main navigation river of Rio Grande do Sul state. The city soon became the state capital, and with a well-prepared development project, Porto Alegre has turned into the most important economic and cultural center of the far south.
I'm going to ask that you stop doing this, okay? I'm sorry. My head has gone up and down, up and down, up and down, and down. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. What I did want to show you particularly was on church planting, how it is done. Normally we'll go into a neighborhood, and this is what I'm going to be doing in June. I'm going to a brand new neighborhood area, and we'll pray and ask the Lord to prepare the way, and we'll fast. We'll have maybe a team of us to go down and just scout around, see where there's places that do not have churches. And then from there, we will start handing out literature. The literature that we usually send out comes from the missionary money that you give. When you give to the Great Commission Fund to missions, we will use that money in many different ways. And in church planting, we usually start in tracts. We'll start with evangelistic preaching services. We'll invite someone to preach. For the young people. We'll even have the young people, they love music, so we'll have a Christian band come along. We'll have a women's meeting. We'll have puppet ministry. We'll have all kinds of different things to attract people. And one by one, little by little, the church will grow. People will accept the Lord. Maybe in 1 year, the first year, we'll have only about 20, 30 people accept the Lord. And during that time, we will start discipling them. We'll teach them what is a Bible, what is a chapter, what is a verse. We'll have Bible study booklets with them and help them to grow. And personally, we'll start to disciple them. As Jesus discipled his 12 disciples, he spent time with them. And we will spend time with men, women, and young people. So the call, if we go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And there's two kinds of call. One, the one hearing is calling out for help. So when we go to Brazil, we want those to know where those people are. Who is calling to us, the missionary? I want help. I want to know more about Jesus. And the second type of call is my call, my response to God's call upon my life. Every single one of us have a call from God. Every single one of us. whether to stay here in the United States or to go abroad. Every Christian must go and respond to the great commission that Jesus has given. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, "All authority is given to me. All authority from God the Father has given to me. And because I have the authority, I want you, because you're in me, I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to preach. I want you to evangelize. I want you to touch other lives as well. To baptize them. To let them know that there is a local church involved around here and will help you to grow in the Father's love." So this is a call. One, the people calling me to help them to know Jesus, and my call to go to them as well. And then the second call is this. "And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard?" And the emphasis here is hearing. How can they believe if they have not heard? And we must pray that these barriers of sound would be broken down so they can actually hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the second how. I remember my father in Hawaii not wanting to know of the love of Jesus Christ. I have four sisters, my mother, my father. One by one, my sisters were coming to know the Lord as their Savior. My mother, 17 years later on, came to know Christ as her Savior. My father would say, "No, I know you've been telling me about Jesus all these years, but I will not become a Christian. Because if I became a Christian, what would happen to the spirits of your grandfather and your uncles and your relatives? What would happen to them? What would happen to the spirit of your sister who died?" I must pray. I must be a Buddhist. I must continue so that their spirits will continue to live. And for years I would be praying and I would say, "Lord, I want my father to go into the kingdom too. Help him to open his eyes. Help him to open his ears." When God called me to become a missionary, my mother and father said, "No, don't go to another country. Stay here. If you are a Christian and you believe that others need to come to Christ, then why not stay here in Hawaii and lead your loved ones to the Lord?" My father said that to me because he knew the full gospel message, because I gave him the four spiritual laws, the Peace with God from Billy Graham. I gave him Campus Crusade material, the Alliance material, and many Bibles I gave to him. In fact, I even bought him the Alliance Life magazine, you know, and he read that. He knew fully the gospel message, but he said no. I would come home from furlough, returning back to Hawaii. I would pray and say, "Lord, you said that me and my whole family would come to know the Lord." One day, as I was preparing to return back to Brazil, my heart was really, really heavy because my father was now 72 years of age and he didn't know the Lord, and we were going to go back. And that one night, in Waikiki, we were living there, had a little house there, apartment. About 2 o'clock in the evening, I had a dream. It was all dark, and God shouted out to me and said, "Sanford, go to Dad." And I jumped out of bed, scared like anything. And there was Wendy, she was sleeping, and it was all dark, and she was snoring, and I said, "Oh, just a dream, just a dream." So I went back to bed and went to sleep, and again, I don't know what time it was, but then, again, that same darkness. And that voice, Sanford, go to Dad. Jumped out of bed, scared, like my heart pumping. And there was Wendy still snoring. And I knew that God had been speaking to my heart. I remember the passage in Samuel about Samuel hearing God's voice. Four times God calling him, four times. You know? And he said, yes, Lord, speak. And so I remember then I said, okay, Lord. I went to sleep. In the morning, woke up and said, Wendy, God spoke to me. And he said to go to Dad. I want you to stay here. I want you to pray. I'm going to go to Dad's. And so I went and said, Dad, God spoke to me last night in a dream. Twice he said, Dad, you're going to die. And you're going to go to hell. Because he called to me from darkness. And God sent me here. Dad, are you ready to die? And my father was so scared. And he says, no, I'm not. And that's why God has brought me here, Dad. And I shared with him again the gospel message. And my father gave his heart to the Lord. And because God had prepared me, I stopped at the Christian bookstore. And I got some material and Bible study on salvation, repentance, about Jesus Christ. And we sat down to two chapters. I explained to him the Bible verses, how to fill in the blank, how to memorize Scripture. And I said, I'm sorry, Dad, but tomorrow I can't come. But the following day I will. I'll be back. And I want to, since you're retired now, you have nothing to do. I want you to do three chapters, okay? I want you to read six chapters from the book of John. And I'll be back in 2 days. Next day, I called my mother. Hey, Mom, I can't come, but how's Dad doing? I can't believe it. It's been incredible. He got up early in the morning, filled in his blanks of his reading the Bible. He's out there on the patio. We have a view of the Pearl Harbor. He's looking down there, and he's filling in all his blanks. Next day, I come over and say, Dad, how you doing? Real fine. How you doing with the Bible study? Well, he gives me the book, and then he says, I want to check it out, okay? Yeah. He did all 10 lessons in 2 days. How about the book of John? You were supposed to read six chapters. He read the whole book of John. He was so hungry. I prayed, witnessed to him for 31 years. At times I wanted to give up, thinking that God will never save him. But God has been faithful. I want to encourage you. How many of you have loved ones who don't know the Lord yet? Yes. Don't give up. Love them. Be patient. Don't jump on them all the time with the gospel. Little by little, give them the Word of God. You know what I did? When Christmas came, I would get presents and put some Bible verses in there. Easter, I would get them chocolate candy, put Bible verses in there. You know, I would buy my uncle, my auntie, my cousins, Bibles, New Testaments. And you know, let me encourage you to spend money. Spend money for the kingdom of God, for your loved ones. Don't just pray. Praying is good. We need to pray. But do something more than praying. I know Pastor would be so grateful if this church would be just packed up with people that you have brought to the Lord because you've been witnessing. The third, how? Let's look at it. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The emphasis is someone. Someone. Preaching. God wants us to be preaching the Word of God to other people. Now, He doesn't expect it to be on the pulpit like this, but to know intelligently how to transmit, how to communicate the Bible to other people. You need to be here in Sunday school. You need to be in Bible studies. You need to be in cell groups, learning how to communicate the gospel with other people. And then the fourth one, and how can they preach unless they are sent? And this is where the Great Commission comes in, the Great Commission fund. We're having missionary emphasis this week. And it says here, are you in getting it done? Are you in? Are you in? When you give of your finances to missions. It helps us to get the work done. You're being involved as well. It's a partnership. I don't do this alone. I can't do this alone. I can't go to Brazil in June unless you support the Great Commission Fund. I want to share with you one of the blessings when you give. You will receive this folder. It says, the grace of giving. And it says, giving releases money's power. The money often holds us. It has a power upon our lives. And many times we don't want to open it up. Well, it releases the power of God in this way. And the money can be blessing other people. Giving reminds us we are stewards of God. We are holding this material thing, and God gives us the blessing of taking care of that. We are His stewards. We are His caretaker. Giving provides eternal riches. When we use the Great Commission Fund, the money in Russia, in Germany, in Indonesia, in Argentina, around the world to spread the gospel, it's for eternity's riches. People are being won to the gospel of Jesus Christ and entering eternity's doors. Giving is a blessing. You know what the word blessing means? It is the goodness of God upon us. It is the joy of the Lord upon us. That's the blessing. And God wants us to be a blessing to others. Giving increases our faith. We trust the Lord more. We grow more. Giving pleases God. And as we give to the Great Commission Fund, God's blessing is upon multitudes and multitudes of people. And then the last one says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The emphasis here is the feet going out, walking, reaching out to other people. How beautiful are those who are preaching the gospel, who are going out. God expects us to not sit here, but to go out. God wants us to be a blessing to others. How can we get it done? By you being involved. By us together, partnering together. Getting it done. What getting it done? Getting the kingdom of God growing. The kingdom of God are its people. The kingdom of God are Christians, believers. Getting it done. By the call, hearing, someone going, being sent, and by the feet going and walking. This is what the Great Commission is all about. Jesus is going to all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you getting it done? Are we in? Are you in? I hope that this week you will be motivated and challenged to be in and to give. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so very much of the fun time we've had in your house, eating the chocolates together. But Lord, more than that, hearing from you. Oh, speak to our hearts. Don't let our hearts be cold to you. But let your Holy Spirit say, Lord, use me. Send me. Right now, if God has been speaking to your heart, about missions, about going, and you have been saying, Lord, I don't want to be a missionary, I can't go. Let the Holy Spirit of God give you the power to be released, to go. Say, Lord, I am willing to go. Move, change my attitude, change my heart. If God is speaking to your heart, and you before in the past I said, no, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to go. I don't want to speak out for you. But if God is changing your attitude and you're in the house of God, you're with God's people, if God is saying, I want you to go, respond to His call. If God is speaking to your heart, I want you to say, here am I, send me. If God is saying, I want you to prepare to give the good news to others, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand throughout the sanctuary? If God is speaking to your heart, say, Lord, I'm willing to go to be a missionary. I'm willing to go and prepare? Just raise your hand around the sanctuary. Yes, praise God. There's one way back there. There's another young person here. Lord, speak to heart. Let this Christian and Missionary Alliance Church become a missionary sending church. Lord, this is what missions is all about. This is what our week is all about. Is there another hand, another heart that God is saying, yes, I'm willing. Don't be afraid. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm willing. Is there another hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these hearts. Lord, thank you for the call upon our lives. And during this week, Lord, help us to open our hearts to you. And we love you, dear Jesus. Amen.